So I hope you have a lot of fun. If you don't, you have to find some way. But as long as you live in this world, you have to accept it as it is. That there is sukha, that there is sukha. That there is impermanence. That all the things arises and ceases. The body arises and ceases. Feeling arises and ceases. Memory arises and ceases. Thinking arises and ceases. And with this, you know, all our opinions and views and thinking arises and ceases. And if you are old enough, you know that we have thought differently in our previous time. Just remember, if you're old enough, I remember when I was 16 that I thought completely different. I had completely different views and opinions about this world. I thought I can change this world. That's when you're 16 or 18. You just have this energy, you know, the way you can think you can change the world and make it a better place to live. And now you realize, and once you start to practice, you realize the only thing that you really can change is just yourself. That's the only thing that you really could change. But because it's so difficult to change oneself, one tries to change the others. It's much easier to change other people and tell them what they have to do than to do it oneself. One changes the environment because one doesn't like the heat, one doesn't like the water, or one doesn't like this, or one doesn't like that. So we completely changed, we completely messed up this world. Now it's going to get back at us. And we have to live with the results of our karma. Because we have to remember one thing, you know, and now listen very carefully. We have to remember one thing. Whatever we think, whatever we say, whatever we do, will have results in the future. And whatever we just experience right now here in the present moment is the result of our past actions, of our past speech, and of our past thoughts. This is the law of karma. We have the law in karma in natural science as the law of physics. If I put something in motion, it will have an effect. And we can even predict the effect. And it's the same thing with karma. If we understand the law of karma, we know what kind of effect this will have. Especially if we are watching what happens to us right now, and then we are looking what was the effect. Then we know what kind of thoughts had this effect on me right now, or what kind of action had this effect on me right now. If the karma comes from previous lives, then it's much more difficult to say. But it's not impossible, because we just need to look at the tendencies of our character to know, this kind of characteristic tendencies is going to produce this result. But it's, of course, we do need a lot of mindfulness, or we do need a lot of awareness in order to get to these results, in order to see it and to understand. When I talk about understanding, then don't mix it up with the normal understanding that takes place in the world, the understanding with our mind. When I talk about understanding, then this is the understanding that arises within our heart. And our heart is in the center of our chest. It's also called the citta. When I talk about the citta, then I talk about two aspects of the citta. One aspect of the citta is the heart, what we normally call the emotional part, and is the mind, the rational part. It's both the citta. We just separated it out. In the West, we separated out. That's why we have mind and heart. In Asia, it's not separated out. It's just citta. It's just the heart. So this is the citta. As I explained before, the citta is the driver. The citta drives from one life to the other. When you are a Christian terms, you know, you can call it soul. The soul that goes on eternity from one life to the other. But in Buddhism we call it citta. It's much more less weighty. We don't have too much pressure, because we all come from a Christian background, and we all, you know, we all have our different views and opinions about what the soul is. But when we hear about the citta, that is something new we don't even know, and that is the better aspect of going at it. So the citta has these two qualities that we normally call in the West the mind and the heart. And this is the one who goes from one life to the other. Tanaja Mahabua calls it the everlasting tourist. Just like a tourist, you know, he goes in this life and then he goes in the next life, like we go from one town to the other. And if we are dissatisfied with this town, then we go to the next town. If we are dissatisfied with this country, we go to the next country. So, like, if we're dissatisfied with the human world, we either go down in the lower realms, in the animal realms, or in the ghost realms, the demon realms, the hell realms. We've all been there. All been there, and all our memories are still there. They are not obvious. They are not apparent to us. But we all have. And we all dread hell. If somebody tells you go to hell, you know, we all dread it. Why? Because we know it. We know it from our own personal experience. We have been so often to hell. We have been born as a ghost, or maybe as an animal, and all these things. We have been to heaven, that's why we long for it. We have been there in all these countries already. And we are still not satisfied. Now we want to go to the next life, into the next life, into the next life. When are we going to make an end? When are we going to make a stop to it? How satisfying is this life? If it would be this satisfying, you know, we wouldn't be sitting here, would it? I doubt it. If it would be completely satisfying, this kind of life, we wouldn't look for something else. We would be just satisfied with whatever we are doing. We wouldn't need to do anything else. If we are satisfied with reading, we just would read the whole day. We wouldn't need anything else. But that doesn't satisfy. If we would just sleep, you know, the whole day, that doesn't satisfy. All these things have only a very short term of stay. When we eat until we're full. You know, once we are full, we cannot eat anymore. We're satisfied for the moment, and a few hours later, you know, we're hungry again. And that is with everything. We think about this, you know, and then after a while we change our thoughts to something else, because we're dissatisfied. We live in this country, you know, and then we're getting dissatisfied with the people. Or with the environment, or with this, or with that. And then we go to another country, and then we live there for a while. And in the beginning, when we change the country, we think everything is nice. Until half a year later, or 2 years later, or 10 years later, we know, oh, it's the same thing, you know. And then let's go to another country. And then go to another country. And then after this life, you know, just let's go to another realm. And whatever we have saved up, that determines, you know, what kind of realm we are going into. If you don't have a passport, then you can't leave this country. Or you cannot come back into this country. And what is the passport to come back as a human being? It's keeping the 5 precepts. This is the passport to come back as a human being. If we do not keep the 5 precepts, we lose our passport for a while. So we have to go down in the lower realms. Being in the animal realms, or the ghost realms, the demon realms, or the hell realms. Keep this in mind. I'm not joking. All the religions are talking about hell and heaven. And they exist. Just don't think, you know, they don't exist because you don't see them. Beings in these realms exist. Just don't think that they don't exist because you don't see them. Just open your eyes and you will see them everywhere. You see the ghost everywhere. You see how being. You see heavenly being. They're all there. Just because we don't see them, we think they don't exist. And because the Lord Buddha foresaw all these things, he had this loving kindness to give us these five precepts and said, you know, if you keep these five precepts, then you don't want to fall down, or you're not going to fall down into the lower realms. He told us all these things. When you look at the teachings of the Lord Buddha, he told us so many things. If people want to get rich, he told them how to get rich. Be generous. And then the next life you will be rich. He told the people how to get beautiful. Give yourself, be a person who just serves others. When you serve with your whole body, then you will be a very beautiful person next time. If you serve only with your hands, you know, then your hands will be very beautiful. He teaches us all these things. He teaches us the people, you know, who lie, who deceive other people. In the next life, they will stink out of their mouth, so that people don't get close to them. And this, who wants to have a long life, you shouldn't be a taker of living beings. That produces a long life. He tells everything what we need to know. So what we, if we want it, you know, if we want to go to the heavenly realm, then we can do it. But of course we have to do it. We have to fulfill the prerequisites. Like if we want to go to university, we have to fulfill the prerequisites, huh? Just don't think that we will produce a completely different kind of environment in the human realm than exists in the whole universe. We have requirements for doing this and doing that. We have requirements for going to this country or that country. We have requirements, we have laws that govern our country. And if we go against these laws, you know, we go get into prison. It's okay. And why shouldn't it be with other things as well? And then that's what the Lord Buddha teaches. The person who doesn't keep the five precepts, you know, he will go to prison. Or has to pay a fine. For how long, you know, it depends on what you have done. And don't think that you can erase bad karma with good karma. Bad karma is bad karma. You store it up. It's one story. And the other storm is this good karma. So your generosity, respect and gratitude stores in one room. That is your good karma. And the other, the bad karma that you do stores in the other room. Or you can think about it, you know, you build, with each bad karma, you build up your health room. The house or the office that you are going to work into the house. And with each part of your good karma, you build up your heavenly mansion. And then whatever is more ready when you die, and that's where you go. It's simple, isn't it? It's all logical. There's no mystery, there's no mystic, there's no belief in it. We don't have to believe in these things. We just need to open our eyes to see them for ourselves. That's what the Lord Buddha teaches. Open your eyes and you will see for yourself and you don't have to ask anybody. But it's not our outer eyes. Our outer eyes are very limited. It's our inner eyes with which we see these things. Do you understand in the back? So don't get lightly about these things. Just make up your mind, you know, reflect. And if you're here, this is a special place. This is a very, very special place. There are few places in the world that are so special like this. So take the opportunity to reflect carefully on what you want to do with your life. And then go for it. Make it work. It doesn't matter what, you know. I don't care what you want to do because it's your life. You have to take the responsibility for your life. If you want to become a really bad person, you know, it's up to you. If you want to become the mafia boss of New America, you know, then it's up to you. But if you want to become the saint of India or of Thailand, you know, it's up to you as well. Both ways you can go. So it's your responsibility, it's your life. Just think very carefully about what you want to do with your life. And then also think about what you have done with your life so far. And what kind of results it has produced. Has it produced good results or satisfactory results or unsatisfactory results? The reason why I'm here is just because, you know, I thought everything is dissatisfactory. Whatever I gained for, whatever I thought, you know, what was worthwhile, whatever the world lived for me, you know, my parents or my environment all praised, this is good and this is good and this is good. I all had it and all was dissatisfactory. And that's why I turned my back around to the world and went off as a mendicant. And finally became a monk. Because there's no satisfaction. There's no lasting satisfaction. As I said in the beginning, you know, whatever you do, you know, you will stop. And you will want to change, and you want to change, and you want to change, and then you want to change this, and you want to do this, you want to think about this, you want to memorize this, and you want to have this kind of feeling. But you don't have the control over these feelings. You don't have the control over your thoughts. Only a very limited control. Most of the time, you know, it rushes in, like I said in the beginning, like hooligans, you know, messing up our heart. And you have to clear up all this mess. When you have a house, an apartment or a flat, and if it's a clean place, and if somebody knocks at your door, and you look through the window and look and see, you know, he looks like a hooligan, I don't let him in. Then he can't get in. But if you say, oh yeah, welcome, come on, come on. And then not only one, but a whole horde of them guys come. Messing up your house or messing up your flat or messing up your apartment, and then you have to pay the price for it. You have to replace the broken glass and the broken dishes and the broken furniture and clean it all up. They have left already. Smiling, enjoying themselves, they have left. And you are the one who is paying the price or who is paying the bill. You are the one who is responsible. So if you have an apartment, you're very careful. Now you have an apartment that is called the citta. So be very careful of who you let in. The same thing. Don't let in thoughts or memories that mess you up. Just kick them out. Show them the door. Show them the door. If you don't know how to show them the door, just replace them with the word Buddha. Buddha, 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 Buddha. And then they have no chance to enter. They have no chance to enter our room. They have no chance, you know, to make a mess. Even if they have already entered and we notice they have entered. And we repeat the Buddha, 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 Buddha very fast. After 5 minutes they have gone. Leaving a little amount of mess they made while they were there. This is our help. This is our anchor. This is our life saver. If you want to go on practice, if you want to do meditation, this is our life saver. The word Buddha or the mindfulness of breathing in and breathing out. For people who are used to that. But for people who think a lot, you know, clinging to the word Buddha. From the morning you open your eyes until the night you close it. Don't let it go. Because in the time you know you let it go, all these hooligans are coming and messing up your house. Don't give them a chance. You have it in your hands. It's all up to you. You let them come in or not. And you will see, if you don't let them come in for 5 days, your heart will light up. It will light up like a very bright light. You're completely satisfied. Because there's only one thing that is satisfactory. And that is the knowingness of the chitta. This is the only place where we can rest. This is our safe place, our safe haven. And once we have not attained to the complete liberation, that's where we go when we want to take a rest. We go into samadhi. We go into upacara samadhi, or called akta samadhi, or we go into the deep state of samadhi where everything disappears. That's where we go for taking a rest. Like you go for taking a sleep, but while you sleep, you dream about this and you dream about that. You have bad dreams or you have good dreams, you know, and they bother you when you wake up. But when you go into upacara samadhi or into the deep state of samadhi, there are no dreams. There's just rest, completely rest, and when you come out, you're completely refreshed. Not like after sleep that is very uncomfortable. So that is the place where we're going to rest. And that's where the Lord Buddha said, you know, these places you can enjoy. He didn't allow us as monks, you know, not to enjoy this or not to enjoy that, to go to shows or to go out or to see this or to see that. But he said about these inner places, these are the places where you can bathe in. These are the places where you can take a rest. Because the rest of the life, you know, the rest of the practice is very difficult. It's fighting. It's fighting that wants to get out. It's fighting these hooligans. And you know how difficult it is to fight hooligans. You cannot convince hooligans. They're not convincible. They're in a horde and they just want to destroy everything they see around them. You cannot talk to them very nicely, you cannot talk to them very friendly. You just have to put them on guard. And that is nothing else. The hooligans is nothing else than the Kalisa. Messing us up all the time. Now our fight is in order to make these hooligans nice people. And you know, this is not an easy task. So you have to fight them and you have to fight them until they see they have no chance to interfere with you. And then you can train them for the better. So some of us who come here, or who are monks, are spiritual warriors, and some of them are spiritual seekers. What is the difference between a spiritual seeker and a spiritual warrior? A spiritual seeker seeks the truth. He seeks the truth first in the text. In the text of the Lord Buddha, once he understands the text and sees, then he seeks out the teachers. He seeks out the teachers. When he is in the West, he seeks out all the enlightened people. He goes from one enlightened people to another and seeks out their teaching. He hears that this person is enlightened and that person is enlightened. So he seeks out their Dhamma, or he seeks out their teaching. He stays then, and then after a while he goes on, he seeks for the next teacher, and then for the next teacher, and then for the next teacher. And maybe if he has gone through all the teachers in the West, you know, somebody reminds him maybe there is Thailand. there's a place where you can see further off. But in Thailand there are no enlightened people. In Thailand, enlightenment is not used. The word enlightenment is not used. We all can be enlightened very shortly, you know. We have a good insight and then we think we are enlightened. Now in Thailand there are arahants, there are liberated people. People who have gone to the end of the path. So he seeks out this, these people. He goes to one, but if he really comes to an arahant, he makes him practice. He doesn't tell him very much about the Dhamma, he doesn't tell him much about the truth. If he's really truly an arahant, he just makes him now sit and practice. So he will be dissatisfied because he's a seeker. So he goes to the next arahant and looks if there's something different. Or he looks, or he goes to that person, and to that person, and to that person. At the end of the life, he has sought so many people, and he is more confused than in the beginning. Because this person said this, and that person said that, and this person recommended this, and that person recommended that. So in the end, he doesn't know what to do. This is the spiritual seeker. The spiritual warrior is the one who wants to fight. He wants to fight. He's like Che Guevara. He wants to fight for freedom. He doesn't care. He knows, you know, he knows his opponent. So he puts up a fight. He doesn't mind if his body gets cracked up. He doesn't mind if he loses one leg or one arm, he loses one eye or he loses this other. He fights until he's finished. He fights until he's successful. People do that in this world, don't they? They fight for freedom. In every country they fight for freedom. They fight for freedom of their bodily freedom. They don't fight for mind freedom. The moment these fighters would come, you know, and sit and practice, you know, after 5 minutes they would get up. They couldn't stand the pain that arose. So a spiritual fighter doesn't mind. He doesn't mind whatever comes in, you know, comes in, he fights. He doesn't care about his body, he doesn't care about his mind. He fights. Oh. And if there's some pain, you know, let this pain be. Pain is arising and ceasing, you know. Everything arises and ceases. Feeling arises and ceases. Pain arises and ceases. If the pain becomes too strong, he investigates what is the source of the pain. But he doesn't get up. He's not afraid, you know. I'm going to break my leg, or I'm going to ruin my back, or I'm going to ruin my head, huh? No, a spiritual fight is just like a freedom fight. He fights until the end. When he's stuck in his path and he doesn't know where to go on, then he seeks out for some person who can tell him what to do next. And if he truly finds a person who has gone to the end, that's all what he needs. He doesn't need to look up this arahant or that arahant or this person or that person. He knows it for... He has found it. So he's stuck. He's stuck with this person. And that is just like the Lord Buddha teaches us, or teaches his monk. If you find a teacher where you can profit, if you find a teacher where you can learn a lot, stick with it. Stick with him like glue. Even if he kicks you out, then come back as fast as possible. He doesn't kick you out because he hates you. He kicks you out because of a reason. And if you understand the reason why he kicks you out, then you can come back. But of course this is unknown to Western characteristic tendency. If somebody kicks me out, then I'm offended. And never come back again. But in Thailand, it's pretty much used, no? young monks who just don't follow the practice of the Kupa Achan or the Venerable Achan, you know, just get kicked out. And 2 or 3 months back they come later, sorry, I understand, you know. Can I try again? And then he takes them on again. So if you found a teacher that can tell you to the end, why not stick with it? Why do you need to seek out, seek this, seek that, seek that? And in the end you get more confused. There are so many teachings. So many different teachings. And I told you in the beginning, when you come here, I have only interest in the people who want to go to the end of the path. People who just want to massage their heart, you know, and use some nice feelings, I have no interest. There are enough teachers in this world. More than enough, you know, who give you all these different methods to massage the top of your heart, or the bottom of your heart, or the left of your heart, or the right of your heart. I have no interest. Because after the nice feeling that is induced by their method ceases, dukkha arises. I'm only interested in people who want to get rid of the dukkha. Who really are heartfelt, who really intend of getting rid of their dukkha and making some effort in their practice to go this path. Not just to induce some nice feelings for the present moment or for the next half year, as long as they are on the retreat. Once they get out of retreat, you know, for after 5 days, you know, everything is nearly the same. That is not the way of cure. This is the way of make-up. People use make-up, you know, make-up for what? Make-up for this deficiency or that deficiency or that deficiency. They make up their hair, so, you know, because they want to look differently, and make up that, you know, and they feel always, they have the feeling that they are a different person. Or some people, you know, if they are male, you know, they put on the suit or put on the jogging trousers and they think they're different people. This is just making up. And just like if I have a house, you know, it starts to rot away and I take a bucket of paint, you know, white paint, you know, paint it over. Once the rotten thing comes out, I take the bucket of paint and paint it over. Do I cure it? I don't think so. In the end, it will just rot away and fall to bits and pieces. Just because we make up things. We want to get a cure for the thing. And that's what I'm interested in. I'm not interested in spiritual seekers, I'm interested in spiritual warriors. Who really put their mind up to fight. Fight for the freedom. In the world, the people do it. And think about it, you know, how many people fought just in this century, how many people fought for freedom, lost their lives, lost their arms, lost their eyes, lost their ears, lost a lot of power. But they didn't mind. The moment we sit on the cushion, we do mind. Oh, I can break my back, or this hurts, or that hurts. Go through. See what is the cause of this. See the real source. See who is inducing this dukkha. See who is inducing this pain. Understand who is inducing this pain. And then you will see, if you really go and investigate the pain very carefully, then you will see, oh, they are the hooligans. They are the ones who induce the pain. If you don't follow their command, they will let you know. They sure will make you go. And if you don't go, if you're really prepared to sit down, they induce a lot of pain into you. And then you go up. And then you give up. That's their trick. That's their magic. That's their power. This is the power of Kinesis. If we do not follow their command, they will let us know. They will make us suffer so much, you know, until we do it, what they want. Yeah, it's up to you to decide what you want. Right? I just tell you very frankly the way things are. Seeking for Dhamma or seeking for the truth, when you look what the truth is, if you could comprise the truth in one word, or this, you know, in one concept, this is the truth. And of course you could find it without doing the hard work. But the truth is something that changes constantly, that is there in this every moment. That's where the truth lies. So we actually cannot define the truth. We only can find the truth. The truth arises every moment, every second within our own heart. It's called the knowing nature of the heart. This is our true self, if you call it self. There's nothing that calls you self or person. But if you want something to have something, that is the only thing that remains. So let's face it, you know, whatever can disappear, let it disappear. Be happy, okay, it's gone. And just look what remains. If that can still disappear, you know, let it go. And then still look what remains. And if that can go, you know, let it go until there's only one thing. And the only thing that is left is just the knowingness of the heart. And if we experience one time the knowingness of the heart, you will never, ever, ever forget it in your whole life. You know you have been to a very special place. You know you have been to your, what you can call, you know, it's not right calling it your true self or your true nature. That's much better. You can call it your true nature. So, once you've been there one time, you know, you will never ever forget it. It always tingles out. And you want to go back as soon as possible. But in order to be there permanent, you have to fight the kilesa. You have to fight the power of avijja. And the power of avijja has three main armies. The three main armies are greed, hatred, and delusion. Greed we all have. Hate we all have. All the beings in all this universe have greed and hate and delusion. Be it in the highest heaven or be it in the lowest hell, they all have greed and hate. If they don't have greed and hate anymore, they are not anymore reborn in the samsara vata, in this endless circle of rebirth. So greed and hate is the first thing that you have to tackle. Probably before that, we have to tackle the first three fetters. And the first three fetters of self, of sila, and that the body is not self. But I think I end my talk right now, and tomorrow I talk about that a little bit. Pretty noisy. The Deva talk.